Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all there is within him.
Talent. I wanted to, just before the youth go, I want to give a small testimony. But it can be a repeat, but this is more defined. The other day we're at home, and this is the joys of fellowship, and the joys of fellowshipping around the right things, fellowshipping in the right presence, and you hit certain heights, and certain things are done, and certain things are said, and you don't understand. But sometimes, when you may be young, you don't see things the same. But like for someone, you see and say, but I saw God in this. Exactly what happened in the home. Brother Maxwell preached. Brother Wilmore prayed. How can that be possible? You see, so the other day, Sister Nachiza came home. And she says, brother, no, I couldn't get this job. So it was like she came, a little sister comes in the house, she's defeated. So I said, what job? What happened? They said, my clothes, I have to wear trousers. So I said, no. It doesn't work like that. What about Brother Wilmore when he failed to get a job and then he prayed and he got the same job a few days later? You give testimonies of the past. So I was telling her, like, what about this? What about that? And I said, there's never been a situation in the church where we are, or in my life, where someone is refused a job because of fashion or clothing. The Lord opens doors. So we spoke like that. Then we prayed for the food, not for a thing, but in the prayer for food, we said, Lord, how can it be that your daughter has refused a job because of her clothes? We said, Lord, we want you tonight to convict that woman in such a way that next tomorrow or even tonight she'll contact her. And that was the very, we prayed like that, right? That's how we prayed at home. And then Brother Wilmore, and then we said that she may come and give glory to them. And Brother Wilmore prayed the same prayer in church. So to me, like, I can see those things. I said, but how is it possible? Brother Wilmore wasn't there. How did he know? But he prayed exactly the same prayer. So to me, and then the next day when it happened, I wasn't surprised. Because you know, like, that's how God works. That's all. I just want to say, like, when we're fellowshipping around the right things, doing the right things, and we call his presence down, many times I've seen God come and he answers whatever prayer, whatever we say. Wherever two, three are gathered in his name, he says, there I'll be in their midst. And if two or three agree on something, that's it. Let's sing, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loves Me. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why, I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory. Hallelujah! Redemption story. Hallelujah. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why, don't know why, I don't know why. Something keeps holding me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something keeps holding me. The hand of Jesus. The trials of this world are getting stronger. The pool I felt was more than I could pay. Oh, hallelujah. I was on the verge of giving over. The strength would be mine.
expression of his desire to steal away my fear. But I have found in times the revelation, the strength I need to keep me by his grace. Faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, for Jesus is all in me. Adonai, hallelujah. Adonai. Tonight, Lord, we come to you in worship. No matter what the circumstance, oh Lord, no matter what the situation, no matter what the situation, oh, we lift our hands, we will lift up. Forget now. Here we are in Satan's Eden. Satan comes to be. Oh, he comes to beat us down. We'll not be moved, but we'll go with your spirit. Be before us, Lord. In your righteousness, we rise. And sing, oh, we sing tonight, Elohim. Oh, we love you, Elohim. Elohim, how we long to worship. We long to worship you, my King, Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. We long to worship. Oh, we long to worship you, Jesus. Elohim, hallelujah. Elohim, Elohim. We long to worship. We long to worship you.
Long to worship him. If you don't long to worship him, there's something wrong with you. If he's done something for you, you want to worship him. You want to worship him. It's a natural reaction to the grace of God, is you want to worship him. And if you think of all the times you let him down, all the times you got in the ditch, all the times he picked you up, all the times his grace was there for you. Friends, you've got to be ungrateful people if you don't worship him. We've got to be people that don't know our God. If we go and worship Him, it's a sad thing. Just want to really greet Brother Talent. God bless you, brother. It's wonderful to see him. Brother Talent used to be here with us when you first started off. 2001, around that time, he was here with us when we were in Crumlin. Days we first met Brother Francois, and those days, Brother James first came, and then he went across to England. He's in Manchester now, so we're really glad to see the brother. And it was wonderful singing, brother. Thanks very much for that. He left us with a blessing. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel. We know that our youth are leaving on Friday, going to Switzerland. So we're speaking with some of them. So we thought what we'd do, we'd like to give them a little bit of a send-off today. We'll come to a time of prayer, but they'd ask a couple of questions. And especially when you're going to something, you're going to a convention, you're going to youth meetings, you know, it really is, there's a certain approach to things. There's a certain something that brings forth the blessing. So we thought we'll just fellowship about that a little bit, try to help our precious young people to prepare. And also there's some questions they asked about courtship and if you meet somebody in those kind of places. So we'll try to bring it all together in just something before we come to a time of prayer. Let's open 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 9. We'll find it's a time when there was a convention and Hannah went up to the convention. It was to the feast. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Father, we want to just bless you upon this day. We bless you for your word. We bless you for your grace. We bless you for worship, Father, for fellowship. We bless you for a place that you've allowed us to gather once again. Father, looking unto thee, won't you just be with us upon this evening, Lord? Help us in all that we say and all that we do. Father, dedicating your word, giving it into your hands, Lord. Father, takes you to get into the word. Make it the bread of life. Father, let it be something, Lord, Father, that your presence will sit upon to make it hidden manna inside of our souls, we'd pray. Father, praying for them that haven't managed to come this night, them that have traveled, remember them unto thee, O Lord. Father, every petition that is before us, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. I don't know if it's too loud, Brother Shep. It's a little bit of a bounce here. I just want to take it from a quote the prophet preached in church order. When you're speaking about the church, he says, I'm looking, it's 1963, it says, I'm looking to you to see that you carry out the word in this church. He says, and keep it spiritual. For remember, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. So we'll take that thought of keep it spiritual. Now the greatest advice that you can give to anybody in anything that you do is keep it spiritual. If you're traveling and going somewhere and you wanted to receive the blessing, keep it spiritual. If you wanted to go and get in fellowship with somebody or make new friends and you want to make sure that's a blessing, keep it spiritual. And the reason the prophet says we need to keep it spiritual, he says, because this is a spiritual world. This is a spiritual walk that we walk. You know, there's two sides of the spiritual world. So you know, when you're trying to walk with the Lord in the Spirit, there's going to be all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan against us. So the way we overcome, the way we don't get discouraged, the way we don't make mistakes and all those things, wrong decisions, is keep it spiritual. And friends, in our relationships with one another, let's keep it spiritual. Like Brother George was testifying, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt loses its savor, it's no purpose anymore. And it's the same as our relationships, friends, our friendships. Now, once we lose the saltiness to one another, once my fellowship with you doesn't make me thirst, doesn't make me desire to be closer to the Lord, once my fellowship with you is no longer spiritual, maybe it's time we should end that fellowship for a season and go and seek for people, go and seek for relationships that we can say, I'm keeping it spiritual. Now, this relationship's doing me good. This relationship is challenging me in my life. This relationship's encouraging me to a closer walk. And whenever I fellowship with this person, these people, I desire to seek the Lord. I desire to separate myself in prayer. It's very important to keep things spiritual. Because the moment things become natural, there's no blessing anymore. No, there's no progress, there's no purpose, there's nothing in your fellowship that's going to increase your vision, that's going to keep your momentum going. You know, it's just time that you're spending, just together with people. Friends, we don't want that. No, we're living too late in time now for that. We need to redeem the time for the days of evil. So even as our young people will go now to the convention, I'd say that to them, redeem the time. Redeem the time between now and the time that you go. And even when you get there, redeem the time. Let it not just be a gathering of people, but let it be something spiritual. The prophet says, keep it spiritual. I think it's a really important principle that he's teaching us here. Now, the prophet says in the message, Jubilee Year, he says, you'll notice in symbol that Jubilee Year repeats now and again. Every so often, there's a revival that strikes the land. No, so the prophet is typing the Jubilee that once every 7 years they would sound a Jubilee, or once every 50 years there was the great Jubilee. And when that trumpet would sound, it was something which was ordained of the Lord. And anybody that heard the trumpet, and anybody that responded the right way, it was their time of liberty. It was a time for them to be set free. You might have been in bondage before that. You know, you've been somebody's servant. You doing somebody's bidding. You're not enjoying your life. You know, it's just really grinding away. But then God had an appointed time for his people. He didn't want people continually to stay in that kind of a condition. So God, by his grace, he appointed certain seasons typed by the Jubilee, that at that time the Jubilee trumpet would go forth and God's people could go free. And the prophet types that to times of revival. You know, and that's what you want. You know, when you go into a convention, when you have something special where people are gathering together, separating yourself from the things of the world, you don't want it just to be a gathering where, you know, you just come away the same as you went or worse than you went. But you desire that to be some kind of a jubilee. You desire to go there like Hannah did with your burdens, with your bitterness of soul, with your anguish, with your grief, with your questions, with your misunderstanding about your life and your situation and why things have to be like that. But there's a Jubilee trumpet that sounds. And there's a certain spiritual something that takes place by the grace of God. And God comes and does something for you. And you be like Hannah, that when you leave that place, you're no longer a woman of a sorrowful spirit. You're no longer a person who's wondering about your history, wondering about your past, wondering about what all the things that you're going through in your life really mean. You're no longer a person who's all just murmuring and complaining, and no, everything's going bad in the home, and everything's going bad in my life. You know, that meeting when she went to God's provided place of worship, when they separated themselves and went up to Shiloh, when they went up to God's appointed feast, God's appointed time, something took place that she was never the same. No, she came back from there and she had testimony. She came back from there, she was clothed in a different spirit. Something had taken place. She was now going to bring forth something in her life that she couldn't have brought forth before. She had been barren all the years before. She could never bring forth what she was ordained to bring forth. But then she went up to the feast. She went up to the time of separation when people would separate themselves from their business and separate themselves from the normal affairs of life. And they gathered together in the presence of the Shekinah glory, where God had ordained that he would meet with his people. And something happened when she was there. You know, and that's really what you desire, friends. Even when you gather together as saints, you don't want to come and go back the same. And especially when you come to these special seasons and these special times, the prophet says you want it to be a jubilee. You want it to be something that is a change, that when you go, you will hear something in the spiritual realm and you respond to it and something takes place. and it sets you free. That's what you want. And the only way that can happen is keep it spiritual. Keep it spiritual from now. Keep it spiritual while you're going. Keep it spiritual while you're there. Because the real purpose of a gathering is to keep it spiritual. Because you wanted to meet up with something spiritual. You're wanting something real. You're wanting something that's going to do something for you. That in the days and the weeks after, in the years to come, it would have put something inside of you that'll change you. That'll give you a momentum. That'll give you a vision and a purpose. Now he says it in spoken word as original seed. He says that's why each generation has its own revival and chance at the word. Every generation, not just every age, but every generation, God gives them a chance at revival. God presents his word. God blows a jubilee trumpet to every generation. That's a key thing, saints. It's very, very powerful how God in his grace has ordained that each generation has a shot at revival. God brings his word. God blows the jubilee trumpet. God has a time now where he'll meet with you and you can meet with him and he'll do something for you. Something spiritual to change you, to make you what you're supposed to be. But you've got to discern those kind of times. And wouldn't you desire it that when you go to Switzerland there and the meetings are taking place, it would be one of those kind of times. That it would be God's appointed time for our young people's generation now to meet the God of their fathers. Now many of them, their fathers have met God. Many of them, their mothers have met the Lord. But the Bible speaks about the God of your fathers. And it's an important principle. You need to know the God of your fathers. It's good to know about him. It's good that your father and your mother know about him. But God gives every generation an opportunity to know him. Every single generation, he wants to personally be known by that generation. Listen how he explains it in the Church Age book. He says history keeps repeating themselves in the generations of Israel. So he's speaking about these generations now of Israel, how one generation would move into the next. And let's not forget, we're now in the second generation after the prophet went. No, there were people that were there in the days of the prophet. Then their children now have grown up, and their children have had children. So we're moving through the cycle of generations. And the prophet says, in the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation. So the generation that God would visit, like when he would send Joshua, he would send Moses, he would send the prophet, you know, the people would meet the God of the message. They didn't just meet the message, but they met the God of the message. You see, because the God of the message came and he manifested himself. And from there, there's certain people that are born of that revival. And they become the people that will take that message around the world, that will spread that message. Because they have been lit by the original flame. That original flame that's come down, and that original experience, that original message that God has sent forth, these people are born of that spirit. They're born of that revival. They're born of that move. And so they start going out now and they start taking the message to different places and start to testify and so forth. And then they start having children. And now the next generation comes on. It's the children of the children of the revival. So the revival brings forth children, and then that generation brings forth natural children now. And the prophet saw so in revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. So why would the fires fade in the next? Because now you've got a mixture. You've got children of the revival, people that were born of a revival, people that were born of the original flame, and now you've got another generation coming on here that haven't been born of that original flame. Now you've got a generation that's been taught by their mothers and their fathers, and have heard all the experiences, and have heard all the testimonies, but they've never met that God. They've never met the God who started that move. You know, so they know all the quotes, they know all the doctrine, they know all about the message. Now they can tell you a lot of things. But the prophet says, now the fire starts to dim because you've got two generations coming now. But God will never leave it like that, because the prophet says that God, history repeats itself, he says. Every generation has its own revival. So God has an appointed time, an appointed place, an appointed season. He works it out because he wants to meet up with those children of that generation. That generation that knew the Lord, the Lord now wants to meet up with those children. He wants to make himself known. He wants to be real to that generation just as he was real to their fathers. He wants them to know the God of their fathers. He wants them to know the God of their mother so that he becomes their God. That it's no longer the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's my God. You've met your, had your experience. God's given you your revival. Now you can take the message on. Now you've got the original flame. You can go out. And that's why the prophet says it starts to dim. It's like the wise and the foolish virgin, exactly the same thing. Now there were two different groups of people there. There was one that had the oil. There was one that oil wasn't going to run out. But there was another group that was depending upon that group. They were depending, saying, give us some of your oil. You know, you don't want to be in that kind of a generation. Every single one of us, we weren't born in the generation of the prophet. But we saw the grace of God in our age, in our day. Wherever you came from, different people, different places, where we came from, we saw grace in our day. Now we saw something which really, really was a real moving and working of God before Satan got in and perverted the whole thing. But when you're born of that kind of an atmosphere, you're born of that kind of an experience that you have, there's an imprint that it puts spiritually inside of your soul that it makes you want to go and take that same message, take that same thing that you've met to other people. No, because you've got something from the original. The prophet says the church ages, you would take the first candle and light the second candle. Then you would take the second candle and light the third one. And the lamps, that's how they were lit. The flame was passed from one on to the other. And that was the key. And that's why I'd say to our young people, let that be the first in all of your priorities of going. I know there's other things people think about when you gather. It's good to have fellowship. I'm sure there's going to be certain entertainment that's there, certain things, activities. It's good to get involved. It's good to enjoy yourself. It's good to have fellowship with other people. But the important thing is to keep it spiritual. Amen. It's to keep your focus on the right thing. That God wants every generation to have a revival. God wants every generation to have their own shot at the word, to meet up with the reality of the God of the message. And that's why God in his grace, he appoints these conventions and these feasts and these appointed times so that history can repeat itself. So that God can blow the Jubilee trumpet to that generation as well. So those that are bound by the music of the world, those that are bound by the love of the fashion of the world, though you may be in the message, though your mother and father may have been strong believers in the move that you under, but God wants to blow a Jubilee trumpet to set you free from that bondage. God wants to blow a Jubilee trumpet that will set you free the way that he set your mothers and fathers free. But it's an experience. It's not something that can be passed down. The prophet says this is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. God only has children. He doesn't have grandchildren. Now we're in the generation of the grandchildren now from the days of the prophet. God only has children. He doesn't have grandchildren. But God in his grace, he has an appointed place, an appointed time. And he'll separate you in a certain season because he wants to meet with you. He wants to make himself known. He wants to be as real to you as he was to your mother and your father. He wants to be as real to you as he was in the generations gone by that met the God of the message when God blew the Jubilee trumpet to them. But in order for that to take place, you've got to keep it spiritual. Amen. You've got to approach it on holy ground. You've got to go with the right priority inside of your soul. Like Hannah when she went up to the feast that day. There were lots of people going up to the feast. It was full of women. The prophet in desperation says there they were speaking about the bonnets they were wearing and the fashions and those sorts of things. Says, but Hannah wasn't there for that. Hannah wasn't interested in comparing all those kind of things. Hannah came there because she wanted to meet the God of her in her generation. She had a need. She had a barrenness. She could look in her experience and say, but I've got no testimony inside of my life. You know, I know that there's God. I feel that he's dealing with me. I feel that he's calling me, but I'm barren. Surely I'm not ordained to be barren. Surely I'm ordained to bring forth something like other people have brought forth something. And when she went up to the feast that year, it was a different approach that she took than other years. She didn't just go together with the rest of the people. She didn't just go to fellowship with the other sisters that were there and gossip about this and speak about that, or speak about football and speak about those things. She wasn't there for that. When the rest of the people were getting involved in that, she had a burden upon her soul. There was a deep inside of her, and something was calling her to a deep. And she wasn't going to leave there without receiving something. She went determined that year. She knew she had come to the right place. This was God's provided place of worship. She knew this was a gathering that was ordained by God. But she knew the majority of the people were not benefiting from this gathering of God. The majority of the people were coming and going back the same, or coming and going back even worse. So she determined in her heart, I'm going to keep it spiritual. When the rest of the people are speaking this and speaking that, I'm going to go and pray. When the others are getting involved in this and that, I'm going to the sanctuary. I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to pour out my soul, because I need contact with the God of my fathers. I've heard what He did to my fathers, but I want a testimony to say, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. That's what she wanted. And when she responded herself in that season, when that jubilee trumpet sounded inside of her soul, she could sense inside of her soul that something was different this time. But she knew she needed to walk carefully, because the prophet says, keep it spiritual. Because all of the darkness, the guns of the kingdom of Satan are going to be against you. Satan can sense when God is doing something in your life. Satan can sense when God is laying a burden upon you. He can see it by your conduct. He can hear it by your conversation. He can see it by a difference in your prayer life. And Satan's going to want to sidetrack you from that. He's going to want you to get involved in things that will grieve away that spirit that's trying to lead you to that sacred place. The same place that Hannah met in her day. And that's why you've got to really, really be careful. Walk softly before the Lord. Approach the things the way that she approached the things. Don't get caught up in folly, because I'm telling you, young people, there's going to be young people there that aren't there for revival. They're not gathering there for anything spiritual. You're going to have young people that are there because they're there for girls. Young girls that are there, they've gone for boys. Young boys are going to be there because their mothers and fathers told them to go, but they don't really want to be there. Let that not be something that hinders your experience. Because when Hannah came up to the feast that year, there was a lot of other things taking place. Here was the high priest. His eyes had gone dim. The lamp had gone out in the house of the Lord. Here was Eli and Hophni and Phinehas sleeping with women in the tabernacle. It was an abomination. There was a lot of things taking place that weren't right. But that didn't affect Hannah. She had made up her mind that I haven't come here for that. I'm not going to speak about those things. I'm not going to get caught up in those things. I know that God dwells behind the veil. And I need to get in contact with that God. He has promised to meet us if we set our faces towards this holy place. He said He will minister to us. He said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, will set their face to seek me, something will take place. And that's the kind of attitude that you need if you're seeking something spiritual. There's going to be much to try to sidetrack you. There's going to be things that are going to disappoint you. You've got to keep it spiritual. You've got to keep your focus. You've got to keep encouraging one another. It's good to team up with someone like David and Jonathan to encourage one another in the right direction as you're approaching those kind of things. But go there with that determination to say, I want to meet the God of my father. I want to meet the reality of this God. I don't just want this to be a gathering of people, but I want to come back from there and something must have changed. Something must have happened to me. I want to come back there like Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, that she was prophesying, that she was worshiping the Lord, that her words are now recorded in the scripture. She went there barren and she came back with the spirit of prophecy on her. She came back with the seed of prophecy. A prophet was going to be born from her. And she was clothed now in a spirit of prophecy. She went clothed in a spirit of sorrow. She went clothed in a spirit of murmuring and complaining. But she took her murmuring and her complaining to the right place, because she knew that God dwelt in that holy place. And the Lord has says, where two or three gather in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them. And friends, when people are gathering at a special meeting like that, and people have been offering prayer, and people have been consecrating themselves, and the ministers have been consecrating themselves as they gather together, surely you can expect God to do something. But He doesn't do it to everybody. He does it to people that come with an expectation. He does it to people who come the right way, who keep it spiritual. They're determined to keep it spiritual because they want to receive something spiritual. They don't want to lose the saltiness in the things that are being done, but they want it to be something which will lead them on from where they are. They don't want to stay the same. Look in the book of Judges chapter 2. It speaks about it. Exactly the same principle about these generations. Judges 2 verse 7. It says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel." So Joshua and the elders that were with him, they saw what the Lord did. They'd been spared through the wilderness. They never perished in the gainsayings of Korah. They never perished because of the lusting of the people in the wilderness. God had had mercy upon them. They had seen the pillar of fire. They'd followed the pillar of cloud. They'd eaten the rock. They'd eaten the manna, drunk of the spiritual rock. This was a generation that knew their God. They knew the works of God. They didn't just know the message of Moses. They knew the God of the message of Moses. They'd met Him. He was real. He had delivered them. He had protected them. They'd eaten from His hand. They'd drunk from His presence. They'd seen His great victories. They'd seen Him opening the Jordan. That was that generation. They'd seen a lot of things. But then that generation died out. And Joshua died, and the elders that outlived Joshua died. Those who had seen the works of the Lord, those who had had an experience with that original flame, when God came down and the pillar of fire started that move, they all died off. And it says in verse 8, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." Now that's always a dangerous time. Because those people that are holding the original flame, they're passing off. That generation's going off the scene. And you're ending up now with a generation of people that know the message. Because they were born in the message. They were born in the message. These children are the next generation. They didn't know about Egypt. They were never in Egypt. They didn't know what it was like to be down there in Moab or being taken captive by the things of the world like their parents had been. They never knew the taskmasters of Egypt. They never knew all those trials in the wilderness. They never had to overcome these things. By the grace of God, God allowed them to be born right in the message. They were born right in the promised land. The land had been conquered. The way had been cleared. And here came the next generation on. And it says it now in verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord." They knew of the Lord. You can't say they didn't know the Lord. In a sense, they did. They could tell you, "We know about Moses. We know when Moses was born, there was a supernatural something took place at his birth. We know that his mother put him in the Nile and he was, you know, sent out in the basket and the angel of the Lord protected him. We know he grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We know he was a mighty man. We know he met the pillar of fire in the backside of the desert." You know, they could tell all those different testimonies, but they didn't know the Lord. That's why the prophet says God gives every generation a revival. Every generation a shot at the word for yourself. So that you can know that God. So you don't just know about that God, but you know the God of your fathers. These people didn't know the God of their fathers. They knew about the God of their fathers, but they didn't know the God of their fathers. And once the influence of their fathers and their mothers died in their lives, there came another manifestation. Though they were supposed to be message believers. And look what it says about them. "And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there rose another generation which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam." Now you'll understand why the prophet says in the second generation, the fire starts to dim. Because you've got people now that have met the original flame, and you've got people that haven't. No, they come along, but they're serving Balaam. They love the music of the world. They love the fashions of the world. You see, look what it says in the next verse, just to show that it says, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Amen. They forsook the God of their fathers. They said, I'm not going to worship this God that my father's trying to tell me about. I want a God in the world. I want to put on heavy metal music and listen to heavy metal music as well. I want to go and have a relationship with a boy in the world, just like other people have a relationship with a boy in the world. You see the danger of what happens in that generation. That's why God gives every generation an opportunity. God brings a revival, the opportunity of a revival to every generation. Because the only thing that can deliver you is the Jubilee trumpet. That's the only thing that can deliver you. It's the same experience that delivered your mother and father. The same God that delivered them from the taskmasters of Egypt. The same God that delivered them from the gods of Egypt. You need the same God to come and deliver you, even if you're in the promised land. But they now started to worship Balaam. Look what it says. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. The God who started that move, that Exodus move. Like in our age, we're in an Exodus move. They forsook the God who started the message. Who started the Exodus move. They brought, who brought them out, and they followed other gods. They followed the gods of worldly relationships. They followed the gods of worldly fashion. They followed the gods of worldly music. They followed the Hollywood gods. They'd be watching the worldly DVDs when no one was watching. They'd be reading the worldly novels. They'd be reading all the 50 Shades of Grey and all of these kind of things. Yet being children of message believers. Yet being born in the promised land. And friends, you can't blame them yet because they've never met this God. But God gives every generation a shot at revival. God won't leave it like that. God will draw near to you if you're sincere hearted. And He will give you an opportunity to meet the God of your father. So that you won't just be the God of your father, He'll be your God. That's what He wants it to be. And it's only that experience that can set that generation free. It's not teaching them. It's all those things are good. It's not just instruction, although that is good. It's not just protecting them. That's good. We've got to do those things. But the only thing that can bring this deliverance is for that generation, the next generation, to meet the God of their fathers. To meet the God who started that move. That same God who came down in the burning bush to Moses was the same God behind the veil in the days of Hannah. And she knew that God is still alive. I've never met Him in a real way, but I've come up to this holy convocation. I've come to keep this feast with a difference this year. I want to meet that God who's behind the veil. I don't want to just hear about Him, but I want to meet Him. I want Him to meet me. I want Him to be real. I've come, I'm burdened, I'm distressed, I'm weighed down because of the reproach of my life, the reproach of my barrenness. I don't want to leave this place barren anymore. I don't want to leave this place with this reproach upon me. And the only way that can happen is you've got to hear the Jubilee trumpet. And you've got to keep it spiritual. And you've got to take advantage of that season. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That's the important thing at those kind of times. But Satan's going to train his guns at you. He's going to bring some slick-tongued young boy there to the convention. And if you're not careful, he's going to speak you out of the will of God. Yes, you've got to be careful because he doesn't know the God of his fathers. He's going to bring some beautiful young girl who can flash her eyelids. And if you're not careful, something's going to flutter wrong inside of your heart as a brother. And you're going to get sidetracked from the purpose that God has for you. You've got to keep it spiritual. You've got to be careful. Doesn't mean you can't have a good time. Doesn't mean you can't have fellowship, have fun with people that are there. But never forget the purpose that you've gone there for. You want to meet the God of your father. You want to meet God who dwells beyond the veil. You don't want God the other side of the veil. You want that God to unveil himself to you. You want to know the God of your fathers. That's the purpose of these things, friends. That's why the ministers get burdened to arrange these kind of conventions. Because they know that every generation needs an opportunity at revival. Every generation needs an opportunity for the God of their fathers to come and reveal himself in a spiritual experience to the souls of the next generation that comes on. And that's what happened here. They worshiped the gods of the people that were round about them. So they worshiped the gods of their next door neighbors. They worshiped the gods of the people that were at work. You know, when the people at work were playing certain kind of music, this generation started liking that kind of music as well. Started putting it on their iPods and putting it on their phones. And when other people weren't listening, they were listening to that music which the people around them were listening to. That's a generation that needs revival. That's a generation that needs to meet the God of their fathers. And friends, we came from the world. If you ask Brother Michael, give you his testimony. Brother Max, Brother James, anybody who's here, we were all the same. We all knew. We had heard about God. We had heard about these things. We came into the message of the hour. We heard about the God of the prophet. We heard about those things. But there had to come a time that we met him. So that we could say, I know this God. I know this is true. Not just because I've heard, but I met him. He's no longer just the God of William Branham. He's my God. He's my God. I met him. I know him. He set me free. He changed my life. He lit something inside of me. Sometimes it's got dim, but he's lit a flame that cannot go out. And it's a flame that can go from one to another. And that's the kind of people that the prophet says God sends them forth now to take that message out. But then there comes the next generation that knows not the Lord. And the things start to dim. Because they start to worship the gods of the people round and about. And they start to bring those gods now into the promised land. And the only solution, you need God to blow the Jubilee trumpet. And that's what you're praying for young people as they go. Let God blow the Jubilee trumpet there. Let it be a holy convocation. Let it be a divine appointment that the Lord has divinely appointed to meet our precious young people in their souls when they go there. That they may come back with that kind of a testimony. To say, I'd heard about this God, but I've met him. Something has changed inside of me. Let that be the whole purpose of it. You've got to keep it spiritual. Don't get caught up in all the other complications that Satan will try to throw in your way. All the diversions and the things to sidetrack you so that you put certain things off or you don't discern the season or the time that God has ordained for you to meet with him. Because when Hannah was meeting God, there were multitudes of other sisters who never met God. They came there needing to meet that God. There were gossips. There were all the things the prophet said. You look at Peninnah speaking evil about Hannah, saying all those evil things. She needed to meet that God even more than Hannah did. But she never met that God because she didn't approach it the right way. She never kept it spiritual. She never allowed that deep inside of her. We're singing that song. Sometimes we feel the pull. There's something keeps calling me. No, you just follow it through because every generation, God gives them a chance at revival. God wants to reveal himself and make them known. Let's give one more example here. Let's look in the days of Moses. Let's go to Exodus and just see what happened to Moses. Let's look at the beginning of how did that Exodus move start? In Exodus chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 1, and Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now think of Moses at this time. Think of what he had been through. He had heard of the God of his fathers. He knew all about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he had never met that God. He was born in a home of people that knew that God. His mother and father knew that God. They knew the supernatural. The prophet says when Moses was born, before he was born, the angel came down and spoke to them and pointed the sword to the north and said, you'll give birth to a deliverer. And he'll deliver his people and take them to the promised land. They knew the supernatural workings of God, his mother and father. But Moses grew up. He knew there was a call in his life. He could feel it. He could sense that God was calling him to something. He could sense that his life was ordained unto a certain purpose. And he knew he wasn't fulfilling that purpose. Amen, amen. And he tried to do it in his own strength. And when he came of years, he tried to use his education, he tried to use his knowledge of the message to bring forth fruits which he thought was of his call. And he takes an Egyptian, he slays him, and he hides him in the sand. And he thinks this is the way that he's going to deliver people, knowing that his mother and father have told him, you were born to be a deliverer. But it was secondhand information. And friends, we can never overcome through secondhand information. We can never overcome through a secondhand experience. It's never going to give us power to bring forth in our lives what you're called to do. So Moses, he got so disappointed. So disappointed. Backslides to the backside of the desert. Turns his back on the God of his fathers. Turns his back on his father's God, his mother's God. Despite all the things God did for his parents, despite all their prayers, despite how they tried to influence him and bring him up the right way and shepherd him into this call which they knew that God was calling him for, that was not sufficient. Because every generation needs its own revival. It needs its own opportunity. It needs its own time, its own place, its own season, that that same God comes and visits them. And that's how God took him now to the backside of the desert, a disappointed man, a man that was frustrated with the believers of the message. He thought that the people should have accepted him, but they never accepted him. And he allowed that to become a bitterness inside of his soul. And he turned his back on them and he went to the backside of the desert. But God has his appointed time. God separated him from his normal life. God separated him from everything else. Took him to a certain place so that he could reveal himself to him at the backside of the desert. And that's why you have conventions, so that you can separate yourself from the normal things of life, the activities of life, the burdens of life, so that God can have an opportunity, because God wants to get your full attention. And he needed to get Moses' full attention. Sometimes he's trying to get our attention, but we're too busy with other things, too busy with our studies, too busy with our jobs. That's the way this life is. So God has appointed these certain seasons where he'll give you his undivided attention, and he wants you to keep it spiritual. He wants you in that season, give him your undivided attention. And if you approach it in that kind of a way, something's going to take place. So God comes down now. And it says, verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So God drew his attention. He knew inside of himself he didn't have what it took to fulfill what he was called to fulfill. He knew it. He knew he didn't have an experience, in his experience, that which was necessary. Amen. He had tried and he had failed. He tried to do it in his own strength. He tried to do it with all of his good intentions. He tried to use all of that, and it was good in what he had tried. But it could never bring forth what God wanted him to bring forth. Just as much as Hannah. I'm sure she had tried many, many different remedies for her infertility. I'm sure people had told her to try this, that, and the other. She would have tried everything that she could. And you must try. Try what you can. But there came a point she realized, this isn't going to do the job. And she knew that there's one solution to my situation. And that was an opportunity for her to hear the Jubilee trumpet. For God himself to visit her and to set her free. And Moses needed that as well. And God had his backside of the desert. He had his appointed place, his appointed time. And finally he got Moses' full attention. And God now spoke to him. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now look at the questions that he's going to ask. Look how it just confirms exactly what the prophet is saying. Verse 13, Moses says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say? So Moses knew him as the God of his father. And he says to him, he says, when they say, what is the name of our God of our fathers? He says it in the next verse. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I'm not the God of your fathers. I am that I am. I'm the God of this generation. I'm the God of the next generation. I'm the God of the previous generation. I am that I am. I am today. I'm not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I am that I am. And that's what he wanted to reveal to Moses in the backside of the desert, is that I am. That I'm the ever-present, present tense one. I don't change. The same I am that Abraham met, I'm still the same I am that Jacob met. I'm the same I am that Isaac met. I'm the same I am that's come to meet with you. And that's how the Exodus started, when he met with the great I am. And God said to him that, and he says, verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. He'll never change, friends, in all generations. Until we finish this final generation that we're in now, as we see the signs of the times. But God came down in that generation. He had come down in the previous generation. He had come down in the previous. He had come down in the previous. And the way he kept his work going, he came and visited each generation to light the fire. So there'd be people that caught the original flame and took that flame onto the next generation. Then they would lie, go to sleep with their fathers, and God would have to come down again to light the flame again in that generation. And friends, that would be our desire. That would be our desire for each and every person that would travel, for each and every one of our young people, even them that wouldn't go, to each and every person, that you may know the God of our fathers, that you might know the God who started this move, that you may know Him. Now people ask questions about, you know, if you meet somebody that's there, there's nothing wrong with that. God can also have His appointed time when you go there. Maybe it's time for you to meet up with your husband, your future husband, your future wife. Or maybe God wants you to meet brothers and sisters that will become real Jonathans and Davids inside of your life. There may be predestinated, you know, relationships that God has ordained to help you inside of your experience, to help you inside of your walk. But you've got to keep it spiritual. Because you're going to meet tares among the wheat. But there's going to be the genuine wheat there as well. So you need that spirit of discernment to know. Look what the prophet says in the message, questions and answers. He says, when this sister comes and says, no, should I marry this certain man? We read this quote once at youth. The sister asked him, and he said, and I asked her, I said, have you received the Holy Ghost? And she said, not yet, but I'm seeking it. And I said, you get the Holy Ghost first. He will tell you which husband to have. You see, you've got to keep it spiritual. These are spiritual things. These are spiritually ordained things. If you just go about it natural, you're going to end up natural. But if you go about it spiritual, God's going to do something. That if it's your appointed time, if it's your appointed season to meet, whoever it is that God has appointed for you, that God is the one who knows. But the prophet says, the Holy Ghost in you, He's the one that will show you who your husband is. You've really got to keep it spiritual. He says it now in painted face Jezebel. He says, he's speaking about why you love your wife, why you love your husband, if you're really ordained to be together. He says, but if you love her because there's something about her that you've prayed over, and God has joined you together, she can get old and wrinkled and ugly, that won't make any difference. You will love her through all eternity. Because what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's right. So ask God first. Now before you get too committed in something, before you try to take things too far, the prophet's giving us some very good advice. Ask God first. Ask God first. Go about it spiritual and keep it spiritual. Any relationship, keep it spiritual. Like we said, once a relationship becomes natural, it doesn't benefit anybody. We used to have good, faithful deacons back home when we had things were going well in our church. And I was friends with Brother Oliver. He was my best friend, the one who's now the pastor in Nottingham. And one day the deacons came to us and said, hey, you brothers, can't you see? You're not helping each other. You're both the same age in the faith. Why don't you rather go and make friends with people that are older than you in the faith? People that can help you spiritually. People that can teach you something. People that can teach you how to pray and different things. And I really respected that advice. Because you want to keep it spiritual. And the moment the relationship starts getting natural, you don't want it to stay like that. It's not going to benefit you. Once it loses its savor, it's not fulfilling the purpose that God had for it. That's how the prophet said, keep it spiritual. And if you meet young people there and want to make friends with them, you know, have a spirit of discernment inside of yourself. You know, the weakness of girls, of women, is a man's mouth. We know that. That your man can talk and talk and talk and appear to be so spiritual that you can lose the spirit of discernment. But there's got to be something to know what is in his heart. What is in his experience? That's the most important thing. Listen to what the prophet said, speaking about making friends. This is in the message, Come Follow Me, when he speaks of the rich young ruler. He says, Let's follow this rich young ruler for a little bit. What happened when he turned away? He turned away from Jesus, yeah? He had an opportunity at revival in his day. He had an opportunity at receiving the original flame. But he put other things ahead of it. He never kept it spiritual when he approached Jesus. The prophet says, he didn't listen to that voice of Christ, but he went with his friends. Which you kids, you all fine kids, and you're bound to have friends. But watch what kind of friends you have. Watch what kind of friends you have. The Bible says bad company corrupts good communications. Bad company will corrupt your good intentions. Bad company will take away your spiritual momentum. Bad company will dim your spiritual vision. That's what bad company does. So the prophet says, watch what kind of friends you have. If that friend is following Christ, go with that friend. Follow Christ too. But if they don't do it. Don't do it, friends. No matter how pretty she may be, no matter how he may talk all the talk. Friends, some people, there's two dangers. The danger is finding someone who's not spiritual enough. That other danger is finding those people that are far too spiritual. There's a fake spirituality that some people have. But that's why you need to have the spirit of discernment. You find certain brothers, certain young men, they can speak and speak and speak, but you can see they've still got a worldly spirit. And the prophet says there's certain girls, they'll come along and they may even be able to dress like the message and do this, but they still have that worldly flame. They still have that something that draws and attracts boys to them. Be careful of such people. Be careful. That's the snare that the enemy is going to put inside of your way. But you want to keep it spiritual. You want to look humbly to him that he can lead you to the correct friends, that he can lead you to the correct relationships. That's the most important thing. You've got to keep it spiritual. You've got to keep yourself in the spirit so you have that spirit of discernment. Because some young boys can come and say a lot of things, but there'll be an uncertain sound. Amen. You'll know inside of yourself something here doesn't ring true. And that's why the prophet says when you're entering into marriage or thinking of it, enter it prayerfully and advisably. Amen. If you meet some young man there and you think this is the right one for you, come and tell us. We'll contact his pastor and we'll find out what he's really like for you. You have your spirit of discernment, but the prophet says prayerfully and advisably. Before you make a commitment, don't ever vow to anybody. Don't ever agree to marriage. Don't do those kind of things. The prophet says pray about it first. Wait upon the Lord and pray about it first. Look what he says here as we come to a close. He says in serpent seed, he says, some of you girls find some little boy with his hair slicked down. His mummy's lard can half dumped on his head and curly. You know how they did it in those days, the prophet, like Elvis and those guys. They'd put that grease in their hair and then... And the prophet says, you find some boy like that and you start paying attention to him. The prophet says, be careful, that hair will fall out. He says, I know it by experience. The prophet. He says, but what happens? You fall for that. You ought to pray first. Because a woman's supposed to be part of the man. What God has joined together. So these are wonderful opportunities. And God can open doors for you. And God can do wonderful things. But keep it spiritual. Pray about it. Don't be a fanatic. We're not saying that. No, because I mean, we can go and become total fanatics. It doesn't mean you mustn't enjoy yourself. Doesn't mean you mustn't have a sociable time. You must when you're there. But let the determination of your heart be one thing. That you're wanting to do the will of God. That you wanted to seek him and you wanted to seek his will and walk humbly before him and have a spirit of discernment just to make sure that whoever that person is that they're following Christ. Because if they're not following Christ, don't follow them. Don't follow them, the prophet says. The prophet says in the message, thirsting for life, he's spoken about painted face Jezebel and that. He says, look for something that's real and genuine. See if that girl is born again. If she isn't saved, then have nothing to do with her. And do the same thing with young men. That's the prophet's advice. If they're not saved, don't make friends with them. Unless you spiritually want to testify to them, you want to help them in their experience. But if you're not yet spiritual enough, you're not yet strong enough, and you meet those girls and those boys there, and you can tell by the way they speak, You can tell by what's really in their heart. And you find out this is not someone who's saved. This is one of them of this generation that's born in the message, but they've never met the God of their fathers. The prophet says, stay away from them. Be careful of that kind of believer. Rather wait for God to deal with them and let them meet the God of their father. And then no one will have to tell you that something's changed. The spirit of discernment inside of you will know. The prophet says, he says, I can tell within 5 minutes whether somebody's received the Holy Ghost or not. He says, you can tell by what they speak. You can tell by what's their ambition. You can tell by what's their desire in life. And if some young boy is speaking to you just about worldly things, and was speaking about himself all the time, I would have discernment enough to know that there's something spiritually wrong here. And if there's something spiritually wrong, then separate yourself and pray. And seek the God of your Father to give you the spirit of discernment. And enter it prayerfully and advisably. That's what the prophet's saying here. He says, the prophet speaks about Rebecca. He says she was a virgin. The beautiful Rebecca that married the righteous seed of God's promise, Isaac. Don't you sisters want to marry the righteous seed of God's promise? Friends, don't you brothers want to marry the righteous seed of God's promise? Surely that should be the ambition of any son or daughter of God. That you want to marry a son or daughter of God. You want to marry someone who was predestined for you from before the foundation of the world. And God has his appointed time, his appointed place. He'll open the door for you. You will meet that person. You will discern inside of yourself. Something will take place. Naturally, something will take place as well. There'll be a chemical reaction. There'll be a natural attraction. There's nothing wrong with that. But never go just by the natural attraction. Never go just by the chemistry, because the chemistry will die down, friends. Like you say, when the strife comes in the home and the sickness comes in the home and all those kind of things, the chemistry is long gone. Now it needs a revelation. Now it needs a certain kind of love that's beyond just filial love. Now it needs something that God has joined together. Because what God has joined together, friends, nothing's going to put us under. But if it's just us following our minds and following our eyes and choosing for ourselves. You know, like we say, the girl's weakness is the boy's mouth. What's the man's weakness? It's his eyes. His eyes. He looks at the beauty of the woman. He wants to find something that's beautiful. No, that's the weakness of a man. But a woman, her weakness is the man will always speak. You know, and he'll speak like the serpent spoke to her like that. So be careful. Don't be too quick to agree to spiritual things, to natural things. But the prophet said, keep it spiritual. He says there were two. Rebecca and Isaac were two consecrated, spirit-filled believers of God, foreordained to the very marriage that they united together by God. He foreknew it. Let that be your testimony as well. Because friends, on marriage, you only get one chance. Especially as a woman, you only get one chance. Once you marry and your husband divorces you or things fall apart, the prophet says there is absolutely no way. No scripture, no backing for a woman with a living husband to ever marry again. It's absolutely against the word. Absolutely against the word. So you sisters, be very careful. Be very careful of the vows that you make. Because God will hold you to your vows, the prophet says. You'll be married by your vow. So no matter how much the passion is running hot, no matter how much the chemistry is going hot, separate yourself and pray. And wait upon the Lord and give it a season and come back and spend time in the house of the Lord. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Come and seek advice. Go about it prayerfully and advisably. Don't make quick decisions. Don't jump into things. Don't make commitments that God is going to hold you to that you're not going to be able to get yourself out of later. Be careful of these things. Be careful of these things. These are the things, such are the prophets, says, keep it spiritual. Because all of the guns of the dark forces of Satan are going to be against you when you're trying to walk and grow in the Lord. And we know that. We know how Satan does it. Rather be like Eliezer when he was seeking for a match for his master's son. He went about it the right way. He went about it prayerfully. And he prayed and he sought the angel to go before. He prayed and he sought for God's confirmation and vindication. He said, let the one who comes then waters my camels and gives me drink. Let her be the one that you have chosen for my master's son. And as he finished praying, here she came. Here came Rebecca to the well in evening time. She was led of the same angel. The same angel that had led him there was the same angel that had led her there. This wasn't a natural something that was taking place. But because he was going about it spiritually, he could discern. He was watchful. He was under an expectation. He was waiting to see the results of the good hand of his God upon him. He was waiting to see God's answer to the prayer that he'd been praying even before he came to that place. And let that be with all of us, friends. Let that be with our young people before you go. You know, let tomorrow be a day of prayer. Let it be a day of consecration. Let it be a day that you call upon the name of the Lord. Let it be a day of final preparation spiritually. Even as you make final preparations with your suitcases and with your travel arrangements and things, you know, just make sure that you spend time before the Lord, that you get yourself out of the way, that you get quiet before the Lord, that you bring yourself into His presence. And when you're in His presence, you seek for His blessing. You seek for His direct leadership. You ask the Lord for His vindication, His spirit of discernment, His leadership. You ask the Lord for a spiritual something to take place inside of your life when you're there, that you'll never be the same. That you'll come back with the testimony of Hannah. That you'll come speaking of your God and the beauty and the glory of your God and how your God has been mindful of you and your God has manifest Himself to you. And friends, your life will never be the same. And that is the testimony of any genuine believer here. Anybody who's got gray hair like Brother Max. We're all getting the gray hairs now. That's what keeps you to that kind of an age. That's what keeps you faithful and true, is that you know the God of your fathers. That God visited you in your appointed season for your time of revival. And that you kept it spiritual and you took advantage. When the angel came and troubled the waters, and you discerned that it was a season and a time that God had appointed for you, that you stepped in the appointed time. And the virtue and what God does for you in those kind of seasons, friends, you'll never forget it. Those become sacred sands, like we said. Those become testimonies. Those become an absolute inside of your life. That when the critics rise up in the message like now, trying to dismiss the visions of the prophet and so forth, it doesn't move you. Because you know the God of the prophet. Because you know the God of William Marion Branham. You know the God who revealed the message to you. You know what He did for you when He brought you into the message of the hour. You know it wasn't man that put you in the message of the hour. Therefore man won't take you out of the message of the hour. But let that be your testimony. Let it not be the message your mother and father believe in. Although that's wonderful. But let it be the message that you believe in. That flesh and blood didn't reveal these things to me. But my God, your heavenly Father, He has revealed these things to me. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against such, but you will prevail right to the end of the way. So let's come to a time of prayer. Let's pray for our young people. Let's pray for the success of the convention. Let's pray for God's blessing upon their journey. Let's pray for the ministers that shall be ministering there. Let's ask God to pour forth His glory. Let's ask the Lord to manifest Himself. Let's ask God to do what He loves to do, to make Himself known. Let's ask God that the Jubilee trumpet will sound in the camp and the young people are there. And we pray that every single one of our young people will hear the Jubilee trumpet. That when they come back, they'll all stand here with a testimony. And we won't even have to let them speak, but we'll see that God has done something for them. That truly, like Moses when he came down from the mount, they've been in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Let that be our desire. Let's stand. Let's sing, Brajo, if let's sing one song. Let's come to a time of prayer. And let's put these requests before the Lord. For the leadership of the Lord and His grace. And His blessing upon this meeting coming up. We're competing with some other music there. We're competing with the devil. So let's show him who's boss when we worship.
I love you, oh, because He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Do you love Him? Really, really love Him.
I love Him.
I love Him.
I love Him.
Oh, be- because he loved me. And he purchased my salvation. Oh, on Calvary. Oh, we love him, we love you, Lord. Is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Name of salvation, purchase of God, full of His Spirit. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Oh, my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my side. On my side, angels descending, bring from above, oh, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission. Perfect submission, holy and grace. I in my Savior am happy and praise. I'm watching and waiting and waiting. Praising my Savior.
time of prayer, saints. Let's seek His face. Let's seek His mercy. Let's call upon His name. Let's make intercession on behalf of these meetings. Let's come before the Lord. Let's seek the Lord to rain forth His blessing upon the gathering of His sons and His daughters. Let's all enter into prayer. Let's put it before the Lord.
Father, most gracious, oh, Lord Jesus, blessed, beloved Jehovah, Father, we come before Thee, Lord, precious, beloved Savior, not oppressed by, Lord, Father, what, Lord, Father, would transpire upstairs, O God, for, Lord, we have, Lord, a short thing this night. Bless our time as we pray. Lord, desires toward the Lord, our sister, Lord, be, Lord, Savior, we come to before Thee, Lord, help the Lord, Savior, that should pull far away. From this condition now, Lord, Savior, we pray. Father, give grace, Lord, even in this hour. Give mercy, Lord, even in this night, now, Lord, Savior. For we are Thine elect, Lord. We are Thine chosen, Lord. We are Thine prepared, Lord, Savior God. Guide us now, hear us now. Shepherd us now, Father. We thank Thee for this word that was ministered unto us in Jesus' name.
One more prayer, John. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Because You have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way, there's a great
there's a great portion of heaven
is waiting for you because of what you decide.
Oh,
that was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy the angel told
to the great messenger. Is what we brought you. Oh, the great betrayal in the lovely man.
Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path
in the footsteps of I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, this path has many trials.
This path has many trials.
Oh, and many battles
against the enemy.
Yeah.
God is Holy Spirit.
God is Holy Spirit.
Will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining. In this path, we can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariots of the beloved one
coming to me.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time.
let's finish with that song. Now's my time of consecration. I must see a change in me. Now, how many times we get in those situations, friends, and He never lets you down. I've always said that I've never had a time yet by the grace of God since I was a believer that if I really set my heart to meet Him, within a couple of days I met Him. Because He says, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. And I'll deliver you from your captivity and take you back to the place that you were before you went captive. Let's sing that song. Now's my time of consecration.
There's a deep inward hunger, oh, within my soul. God has promised in His word, He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen, that huge portion of heaven. It will make and bring to pass that tremendous victory in the love divine. Oh, I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that will bind the mumbler up, the boom in his dream. Now's my time for consecration. I must see a change in it. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. For I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, a power that will bind my prayer up. The boom in his dream. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory till thy image you behold. Let's keep this holy convocation a new creation. What's the message in you and me? Will bring to pass a tremendous victory. For I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. A power that will bind and mumble up the boom in his dream. Oh, power that will bind and mumble up the boom in his dream. A power that will bind and mumble up. The boom in history.
So Jesus asked Brother James to come pray for us to close. Just a reminder, just to finish off on looking for the church. We've had quite a few brothers send prospective places. Brother Francois was around looking at certain ones. Brothers have been looking. Somebody's going to get back to us, said they may have a suitable place. So please, if you do have any potential places, pursue it yourself. Let us know. Send us the address. And let's keep pushing on until we find God's appointed place for us. But we do appreciate the saints for the pledges and so forth. Like we said, we can probably afford about 1,200 a month. So that's our price range. And may the Lord guide us. Let's bow our heads. We ask Brother Jim if you'd come and pray for us.
Let us pray, saints.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Amen. Jesus Christ. We come before thy throne of grace this evening, Lord. Father, to give praise, to give thanks and honor unto you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thou art God and there is no God besides you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord Jehovah, that you have granted us your grace, even your mercy, to gather us in this place.
Amen.
Father, Lord Jehovah, how you have led our footsteps to be in this place.
Amen.
Father, such a humble gathering, Lord, and Amen. Yet you have cared so much upon us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you have come to manifest yourself even through the ministering of your word unto us. My Lord Jesus Christ, Father, what a glorious thing that it is that you came down in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
Father, to speak your word, even your eternal word unto us, Lord. Father, your word is the truth and let it find its place in our souls, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just pray at this time, Lord, humbling ourselves unto thee. We come into your presence, Lord, even through the blood that you shed upon the cross of Calvary, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
How we pray that you cleanse each and every one of us from our shortcomings, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, may you purge us. May you have mercy upon us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, that you allow us there in your presence to abide.
Amen.
Father, to stay until we are baked, Lord Jehovah. Father, to be that which you want us to be.
Yes,
even
Amen.
To be that which you ordained us to be, Lord. Each and every one of us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are here because you have placed a thirst within our souls.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and let that thirst, Lord Jehovah, be satisfied and quenched by you.
Yes,
even
Lord.
The hunger that you have placed in our souls,
yes, Lord.
Lord. Father, let it be filled by you.
Yes,
for thou art the bread of life and thou art the fountain of living waters, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In this day and in this generation, Lord, when we see the devil unleashing all his demons from hell.
Yes.
Father, Lord, your spirit at the very same time is also, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, unleashed upon your children, Lord.
Yes.
Father, just help us to yield under that anointing that you have released
Lord.
In this day.
Hallelujah.
For it is only under that anointing, Lord, that we can combat and overcome, Father, Lord Jehovah, the conditions of this day.
Yes, Lord.
Have mercy upon us as this time, Lord Jehovah, Father, that we yield ourselves unto you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, praying, Lord, thanking you, Father, for the brother that is stood to minister your word
yes,
unto
Lord.
Us at this time. Father, may you grant him grace as well,
Praise
Lord.
Lord.
Father,
yes.
as he stands in the gap all the time, Lord, you have Father. To minister your word.
Hallelujah.
Father, may you continue to help him and to have mercy upon him, Lord,
yes,
as he
Lord.
Seeks thy face.
Amen.
Father, Lord Jehovah, to ask from thee and to request from thee, Lord Jehovah, thy counsel of wisdom to give unto your children, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Have mercy upon him, I pray, Lord.
Please, Lord.
We pray, committing the requests that have been brought before you, even in this house.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the sisters that shall travel, Lord. Sister
Amen.
Lily,
yes,
Father, and
Lord.
Sister, Lord Jehovah, that will travel to Zimbabwe as
Hallelujah,
well.
Lord.
Sister Julie, may you grant them grace, Lord, and mercy.
Please, Lord.
May your spirit watch over them, Lord.
Please,
Father,
Lord.
Even that which you have started even now in your house,
Amen.
May it go with them and go even with each and every one of us as
yes,
we part
Lord.
To go our separate ways,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Father, Lord, thanking you even for our youth that shall be traveling as well, even on
yes,
Friday, Lord.
Lord. Please, Lord.
Father, we pray that you will grant them grace and mercy and be with them.
Please, Lord.
But Lord, above everything, Lord, that which you have already started in this house, even
oh,
at
Lord.
This time, Father, may it go with us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, while the message, Lord Jehovah, was there to benefit our youth, Father, we realize it has also benefited each and every one of us, Lord.
Yes.
Father, Lord Jehovah, we pray that the revival that you are so keen on starting in our souls, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, let it start even henceforth, Lord
Amen.
Jehovah.
Yes,
as we
Lord,
go to yes. part from this place, Lord, Father, may your fire go burning within us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, have
Please,
mercy
Lord.
Upon
Please,
us and grant Please, us your grace.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Those that could not be in this house with us even at this time, Lord, Father, may the flame that you've started within us, Lord,
Amen.
Be, dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jehovah, Amen. With them as well.
Amen.
Father, we pray, we ask for your grace and we ask for your mercy.
Please, Lord.
Father, Lord Jehovah, seeing our days numbered even to fellowship in this place, we
yes.
don't forget to thank you, Lord, for the times
Amen.
That we've had in this place.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Knowing, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that your word says everything works together for good
yes, Lord.
To those that love you.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We cannot just but to thank you, Lord Jehovah, for the times that you have permitted
Amen.
Us to be
yes,
in this
Lord.
Place. hoping and trusting that, Lord Jehovah, you've got better things for us to come. You've got a better place for us, Lord Jehovah. We thank you for the response that we've heard, Lord Jehovah, from the saints.
Yes.
Father, we still have. Yet, Lord Jehovah, Father, I request that we get a place that you will be pleased to, for us to have, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, may you lead and guide us to that place. Yes, may Lord. Your grace be with us, Lord Jehovah.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you and we just glorify your name for everything, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, especially this message, Lord, Father, to those that have been raised under it, Lord.
Amen.
Father, our children in our midst, Lord. Father, yes, how Lord. We just pray that you grant them grace. Please, visit Lord. Them, Lord, and speak to their souls, Lord.
Please, Lord
Father,
Jesus.
And let this revival that we are so desiring to have in their souls,
amen,
Father,
amen.
Take effect, Father,
please,
we pray.
Lord.
Father, may your grace be with us now, Lord, as we part to go our separate ways.
Thanks,
in
Lord.
The name of our precious and mighty Lord and Savior, amen. Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Saints, God be with you. Amen.